Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we continue with more stories from A Cowgirl Always Gets Even by Dawn Nelson. And here is Hide and Go Seek. Everyone knows the child's game of hide and go seek. Well, I guess the story's about the adult version of that beloved children's game. Some friends of mine, my daughter and I, helped my brother round up his cattle that fall in the home fields so that they could get the calves to the sale corrals. After that, though, since our horses were already saddled, we all decided to go for a nice, relaxing ride up the mountain behind my parents' ranch. My daughter and I rode along most of the way until she said her butt was starting to get sore. I agreed that we could turn and go back, leaving our friends to continue riding. As my daughter and I rode back, we noticed a Jeep coming around the corner near our spring. As soon as we saw it, the driver must have seen us, for they turned and sped up the draw to the right. I smiled, for I knew that that was a dead-end draw. "Let's go," I said to my daughter as I kicked my colt into a trot. Her gelding kept up with his easy, long-strided jog.
"Who are they?" she asked.
"Trespassers," I said as we neared the spot they had turned at. We slowed to a walk and started up the draw after them. I knew they couldn't have gone very far. As we turned a small bend in the dead-end road, I saw I was right. There they were. They had broken a bunch of branches off the trees and covered their Jeep with them in hopes of hiding from us, bent their license plate up so I couldn't read it, and shut off the engine. They were hiding. How cute. I almost wanted to say, "Found you," as I rode up to the window and stopped, but decided against it. The man hesitantly rolled down his window. "Yeah," he said. "I am sure you know you are trespassing," I said. "No, I didn't," the man lied. "But I know no one lives here." Well, I knew the man was right. It was true that no one lived in my parents' old place, but that still didn't mean he wasn't on my land. "I don't care what you know, but you need to get off my land real quick," I said.
"This isn't your place," my six-year-old daughter chimed in.
"Can we get permission to hunt up here?" the passenger asked. "No, and if you don't leave right now, I will give you permission to be buried up here," I said.
"There's one grave up here already,"
my daughter chimed in again. I couldn't help but smile. She was right, after all. My dad's grave was up here, but she left out who the grave was for. Instead, it sounded like it was the last trespasser we just happened to bury. The man started his vehicle and drove off quickly. I turned to my daughter and smiled.
"You are learning well, my child," I said. "You are too, Mom," she replied.
"What do you mean I am too?" I asked.
"You didn't even cuss at them once, Mom," she said.
"What do you want to do now?" I asked my daughter.
"Find some more hiding trespassers. That was really fun," she said innocently.
I guess the moral of this story is, if you hide from me, I will find you, and my daughter will lecture you. Sometimes the smartest people have the least common sense. Light bulbs, ladders, and bottle calves. I found out the hard way that light bulbs, ladders, and bottle calves do not go together. Yes, I know what you are thinking. Most normal people would figure that out sooner in their life than I did, and maybe a different way. However, I believe it is never too late in life to learn something, and this story is how I learned that little lesson. It was early February, and smack dab in the middle of calving season. I was feeding two bottle calves that were each the second of a set of twins. My day started out normal enough with feeding the main herd, checking cows, feeding the pairs and bulls. After entering the barn to let the close heifers out for the water and feed, I noticed that the light bulb over the calving pen had burnt out. I figured I would quickly feed my two bottle calves before their milk got cold and then change the light bulb. I fed the calves and turned them out of their pen to play in the big open center of the barn as I got the ladder and set it in place. The calves were running and bucking, so I figured they would be all right and quickly scurried up the ladder with a light bulb in hand. I changed the bulb and put the burnt one in my pocket as I turned and began to start back down the ladder. It was then I realized the world was shaking and looked down to find one of the calves with his head through a lower rung of the ladder. My thoughts at first were to scurry faster down, but I realized that would not work as the ladder was already almost a foot away from the rafter beam of the barn. I quickly grabbed the beam and pulled the ladder back to the beam just as the calf took off forward with the ladder rung still around his neck and the ladder in tow. I was left hanging by both hands from the large beam. "You little turd!" I yelled as I clung for all my life 20 feet off the ground, clad in my coveralls, work coat, and gloves. "When I get off this rafter, I'm going to get you!" The calf continued across the barn with my ladder, trying to get free of it. Go figure, now he doesn't want it, just like a kid. Get what they want, and after they get it, they don't want it. As I hung there looking down at the barn below, I realized that this was a predicament that I had never found myself in before. Yep, I was amazed. I quickly checked my options. With the panels and gates below me, I knew jumping down was not going to be an option. Yelling for help didn't really work either, as my closest neighbor is a mile away and my husband was at work. Staying up there all day till he came home wasn't going to work either, so I figured my only other option was to shimmy toward the barn wall and try to climb down. As I made my way one careful hand over the other towards the barn wall, I realized that with my coveralls and work coat on, I must have weighed even more than I usually did because my arms were burning. I knew then I was going to have to go on a diet or lose some clothes if I planned on making it out of my current situation in one piece. Holding on tightly with one arm, I undid my heavy chore jacket, slipped the coveralls shoulder strap off my shoulder, unzipped my coveralls, then I switched arms and let my jacket fall. Holding on with both hands again, I tried to wiggle out of my heavy, wet coveralls, only to find that I couldn't get them over my boots. I momentarily panicked as my arms burned. I tried to get my muck boot-clad feet up and around the beam to give my arms a break, but that was a waste of energy as my boots were too big to fit in the gap between the beam and the ceiling. Then, of course, my brain, I have a solution to everything, kicked in. So I kicked off my boots and my coveralls and wrapped my sock-clad feet over the beam. Unfortunately, the tiny spot still did not make me feel comfortable enough to let my arms have any relief. So looking around the barn, my brain settled on another solution. One of the large poles that were used to support the roof were within feet from me. I knew it would be very miserable to slide down, and the slivers would be miserable at least, but it would have to work, so I headed for the closest pole. Finally reaching a pole of the barn, I wrapped my arms and legs around it, started down slowly, an inch at a time. I hoped at that point that no one would show up, because I didn't know how to explain to them why I was now only in a t-shirt, jeans, and socks climbing down the pole in our barn, while my clothing was scattered the better part of the barn, and the calf had a ladder on his head. I figured it would be easier for all of us if I got myself out of the situation. I did after some tense moments in climbing down. Finally, with my cold feet back on solid ground, I felt a little better. I quickly dressed, relieved the calf of the ladder, called him a few names I won't repeat, and walked back towards the house. About halfway across the driveway, I saw a car pull into the house and smiled inwardly as some local church women stepped out.
"Thank God" was pretty much all I could say, as I realized that had they found me hanging half-dressed from the rafters, this story could have a whole different ending. The fire department, police department, and news reporters could have been there trying to get the half-dressed hanging me out of the barn rafters. I knew that would probably make some great headlines. I could see them now. Local author treed by calf. Or, local author finds it takes more than one idiot to change a light bulb. I am very happy to say that this is one situation I got myself out of with no one being any wiser to what happened to me. But no matter the outcome, that is the day I learned that bottle caps, ladders, and light bulbs do not go together at all. The quickest way to become a millionaire in the cattle industry is to start out as a billionaire. My dirty little story. I know what you are thinking. The name of this story says it all, right? If you are thinking that now, just wait till it is over and then see if you were right. It is true this is my dirty little story, but probably not like you are thinking. This dirty little story is just that, full of dirt and very little, or, I guess, in the writing world we say, short. You see, I had been feeding 9 registered bulls for the better part of the winter, the year this story takes place. Besides the self-feed hay they were getting, their feeding included 2 buckets of grain every morning poured into their feed bunk. For 2 months, I had no problems feeding these 9 very big and playful bulls until one very cold, frozen morning. I filled up my buckets and walked into their pen as usual. Nothing new and nothing out of the ordinary. As I made my way across the frozen, topped muck, the bulls, who must have been feeling particularly fresh that morning, came running and bucking up behind me. At first, I was not worried at all. That was until I realized they were not slowing at all as they neared me. I swung my buckets and me around to face them, and as I did, cover your ears, this is where my story gets a little dirty. My foot broke through the frozen muck and dropped me instantly into the foot-deep green goo below. I cussed quietly as I tried to get my footing adjusted and looked up just in time to see one of the bulls realize what I was and make a mad leap over me. Now, I am 5'4", and that bull was just a yearling, so you can imagine his leap was in vain as his belly smacked me in the face. Cover your ears again, because this is where my story gets even dirtier. I fell flat on my back in the green goo. The bull took off bucking and snorting as his recruits came in to try to get the buckets of grain. I started into cussing. I stood up covered in fragrant green muck, and those bulls must have thought that I looked like the great green goo monster rising up from the depths of their pens, for they all stopped, snorted, turned, and ran away from me, bucking for the far corners. I continued on to feed them and do my barn chores, and found that everything I came in contact with seemed to want to stay as far away from me as possible that morning. Not that I could blame them for all that muck I fell in was some of the raunchiest smelling manure I have ever had the misfortune of falling in. And yes, I have fallen in many piles in my life. But there is one thing I would like to clarify for you. If you ever heard the old wives' tale about falling in manure and coming up smelling like a rose, it is not true. No matter how many times I have tried, I have never coming up smelling like a rose. Maybe next time. If you enjoyed these stories, please let me know. Thanks so much for listening. And next week, we'll have more Does This Happen to You? Moments.